Hi, I'm the Dark Tangent, and you're about to listen to some speeches from DEFCON 2, held at the Sahara Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1994, July 22nd to the 24th. This speech and all speeches are copywritten, the Dark Tangent and DEFCON Communications, all rights reserved, except permission is granted for educational nonprofit use. Now, the Sahara, like most other hotels DEFCON's been at, has since been blown up to make way for a bigger and better hotel. So with that in mind, sit back, relax, get ready for some good speeches.
Hi. A lot of you guys know me anyway, so for those of you who don't, my name is Annalisa, and I'm working on a project, definitely called Unauthorized Access. And it was supposed to be here today. I was really hoping it would be here today. It's a documentary about what's happening in the computer underground, hacker underground. A lot of you guys are actually in it. Not too many girls, but there you go. It was shot in 15 cities in 4 countries over about 4 or 5 months. It should be out within the next month or two, hopefully. The reason it's not out is because it's independently funded for particular reasons, by myself and some other people that were nice enough to, put me up on their couches and feed me and sort of take me out for drinks while I was being shot. So, more on that later, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about what's happening in Europe, because I filmed in Holland and Germany, and there's some really good things going on. And one of the things about the American scene that kind of upsets me sometimes is that it's not always very motivated socially, even though Mark Ludwig and Dead Addict talked about things that were very socially motivated. But one of the things that I want to talk about is Hactic. I don't know who's familiar with Hactic. They're a Dutch organization that's really doing some interesting things. They call themselves techno-anarchists, and they just ran a convention last summer called Hacking at the End of the Universe. They also did the Hectic Galactic Hacker Party in 89, I believe it was. The thing that's really interesting about Hectic is that they've put up a server called Access for All, and the thing that's really important about this is that in Europe, people in America take net access completely for granted. I mean, you know, there's dial-ups everywhere. In Europe, it's not like that. It's really hard to get onto the internet. England has just started Demon.com within the last year, which is a provider that is basically like Netcom or something here. But other than Demon.com and Access for All in Holland, you can't get on the net unless you're in a corporation or at a university or, you know, you hack your way through. So I think the scene is a lot more solid there because of that. Access for All is one of the things that Hactic's done. And then the Galactic Hacker Party was in 89, 90, probably you know about it. And then Hacking at the End of the Universe, they set up networks outside in tents. Some of the people here I know were actually there, Mark was there. So you probably know about that as well. The most recent project that they've done is the Digital City. This is really important because they set it up with the Arts Council, and what it does, it lets people who know nothing about the internet come onto the internet. They have terminals set up in cafes, at the local library. Anyone can telnet there and log in. It's dds.hactic.nl, and you can log in as guests. It's G-A-S-T, but it's all in Dutch, so unless you speak Dutch, it's kind of not user-friendly for English-speaking people. But they have it set up. It's really cool. They have it so what you do is, if you want to download text files, you go to the library. So it's like, press one for the library. If I really wanted to have something here. It's all on video, but I don't have it here to show you because the film's not finished. But if you want to go on IRC, you go to the pub. They have extensive directories that have things like political documents, things for the city, all kinds of stuff. Even Cult of the Dead Cow is on there. I was really surprised. It's like, wow. So they've got a lot of things. So Telnet there, it's an interesting site. Another group that is operating out of Germany is the Chaos Computer Club, and they're doing some really good stuff. And Christian Wolf is here. He's from Chaos, and I wanted to bring him up here and let him talk about what's happening with Chaos. And he's also doing some stuff with the Ponton Media Lab. And he's got something to demonstrate. As you can see, his program is up there. And he'll tell you about it.
Yeah, I first want to tell a little bit about the Chaos Computer Club. What we are doing right now is, so the most recent thing was in the press in Europe that was in a break-in on a CD-ROM. It was a CD-ROM that was with software on it from Microsoft and different other companies. And you could purchase a password for a different part of the software with telling them your credit card number, and so they will so you pay for the software that you have on the CD-ROM encrypted. And some people of the Chaos Club break the code and publish all codes for the CD. And put this also on the media. So it was during the CBIT, then when suddenly in the big German newspaper, the Bild Zeitung, it's in normally not very good newspaper, but almost everyone reads it. So there was this big headline: Chaos Computer Club break CD-ROM, and so was a little some people getting noticed what's happening with the new technology on CD-ROM and with the copyright and all this. The other thing, I'm doing a lot of stuff with the Ponton European Media Outlet, Mangos TV. This is not especially hacking. We are doing a kind of art television project. We're trying to do interactive television. We are trying to turn a one-way media television into a two-way media, where the people from at home can participate in this media, can doing their own stuff there, and bring themselves in. We have done 2 years ago the project Piazza Virtuale on the Documenta art exhibition. We transmitted 100 days live television, where people could call in on modem and on telephone and, for example, talk with each other. This chat was then transmitted on television. It was four people on modem and four people on telephone, and another one could send faxes in. So these nine people could communicate with each other. Sometimes people drop out, others came in, so it was steadily going on communication there. Some other thing we did was that four people could play on a digital sampler or on touchtone together in an orchestra, so they could make music. Two people together could draw on the TV screen also with touchtone. They could control a little further and drawing images and talk with each other. They also could, there was another program block, could control a camera, also with touchstone, where they could actually move the camera through our studio and ask, what is this, what is this, tell us what something about this and this, or just talk to us. This was a really interesting project, because also a lot of television people get really afraid of this. They have for 50 years now with medium television, which was always very centralized, very controlled. There were millions of people watching it, and only a few thousand people doing it, really. So. And they now really afraid of that the people who watch television since 50 years now get in charge of doing television without getting out of their home. So here in the United States, a lot of big companies trying to do something like interactive television, which came out as video on demand or home shopping or things like this, where you cannot really do something. You can you can use a television, you can say you have an interactive television with your remote control. You can switch the channels and you can switch it off, it's also interactive. So there's no big difference to video shopping or video on demand. Video on demand is not as good as going to a videotape and then rent a video there. You cannot stop it, you cannot watch it twice or three times. So what is the next step, we had the problem that we could only get 9 or 10 people at a time on television, and so all other people who called in get about 10,000 callers per hour. They got a busy line, so they could not do anything, and they were really frustrated about this. They tried, some people tried 3 weeks in a row to dial in. So we thought about how could it be possible to get give more people access to this medium, to doing their own stuff there. So we had this picture of a pyramid where a lot of people are in the base of the pyramid, can communicate with each other. Then, while communicating with each other, getting more interesting themes to talk about, not only saying hello, I'm from here, I'm from there, and so get up in this pyramid, and the top of the pyramid, and then transmit it onto television. So that the most interesting things happening in this pyramid can be seen by the people who are watching television. And those people who are seeing this, and when they find it interesting, they can also call in and try to get to this forum where this happens, but actually in television, and participate there. The project which we are building right now is called Service Area. This is the first step towards this model of the pyramid. You can call in on a modem. We have 32 modem lines. You get a 3D wireframe model where you can fly through on different floating islands. The islands are the forums. You can land on these islands and talk with the other people who are there. You can also call them on telephone. On telephone is a possibility to do something with touchtone. You can go around with touchtone or play music with touchtone. You can chat with the other people. You can leave voicemail. And in the next phase, you will also be able to chat between the modem people and the telephone people. So you're speaking a telephone, and at some other place, it came out of the speaker from their computer, and in the other direction, they can speak in their sound blaster card, and the people on the telephone can hear it. So on modem, you have also the possibility to draw something, to transmit video. This is the thing we rebuilt. This is this little yellow cheese over there. I'll show it soon. This is a device we developed for exactly these kind of needs we had. That people at home could send their own image, their own face into television as a moving picture for a cheap price. So we thought about what do you need to transmit an image over a telephone line. Then we came up with the idea of putting simply a converter between the computer and the modem, where you can plug in a camera. A lot of people have a computer, a high-speed modem, and a camcorder at home. So this is basically all we need for a picture telephone. And so we built this little adapter, which converts video to 19,200 volts serial data. And you have a cheap video phone. You can call each other. You can communicate directly with each other. And you can also call to our shows, to our system, and transmit your images there. You can transmit images from a camera or from a video recorder, from whatever, at a rate of 2 seconds per frame. And this quality you see over there. This is the stuff that what we are trying to do right now in Germany with LibreSchaus. But I think that's it mainly. Any questions? The Avis cheese is about $150 and switches automatically between file and NTSC. We are located in Hannover in Germany. I can give you an echo. I can tell you. This list starts with 17. Okay, better. So, we are the Pantan European Media Outlet. We are a group of artists and computer people and graphic people. So, a lot of people who were interested in new media were found together and created this group. There are some formerly performance artists from the art group Minus Delta T, and some programmers like me, some people who did who came directly from art school, who did comics and things like this, and we all together created this laboratory for experimenting with new media. So this is the Pantan European Media Outlet, and we have the television projects like Bengal TV or Ballroom TV. So there are some more questions? Yeah. Excuse me. ISBN is faster. It works also with ISBN. We have right now only this one version with 19,200 ports. Maybe when the 28.8K modems are more widely spread, or ISBN is more widely spread, we can do another version which transmits either higher resolution or more frames per second. Okay.
I'll say the thing that's really cool about this project, it comes in like a little Swiss cheese. It's over here, I'll show it to you. The last group that I wanted to talk about was, there's another group in Germany called Phobuzz. I can't say the name in German, it's very long, I don't know what it stands for exactly. There's the cheese. They run a BBS called Bionic, and it's basically a call forwarding BBS, linked with GlasNet, BlueNet, various other nets. They're very active politically and ideologically. They actually stem from performance art in the 80s. And they hooked up, they're having art forms, they hooked up with the Chaos Computer Club. And so they do a lot of things separately, but together. They have also, one of the interesting things that they've done is they have set up networks with Sarajevo. They have on there called Boarding BBS, one of the BBSs that they set up in the war zone has to be run on petrol generators because there's not a constant flow of electricity there, but they're very active in that. They also have things like public domain meetings where once a month they have speakers that come and just give a talk on, pretty informal, at the Bunker Uhlenwald, which is actually also a jazz club that is a real bunker from World War II. And the topics range anything. I know when I was in Germany just before I left, they were having one on an ex-Stasi member who Stasi is the East German secret police, and he was giving a talk about surveillance and basically how they were tracking people before the wall came down. So that's another interesting thing that they're doing. They meet up in the pub on Tuesdays, and if you're in Germany, these people are very approachable, and you know, even if you're not in Germany, these they can be reached. We have addresses for them if anyone wants it. But they're very political, and they're very cool, and they're very social, and they also put on big events, like Chaos Computer Club puts on one once a year, Congress. So I guess that's really all I wanted to say. I don't know if there's any questions about unauthorized access, or about FOBED, or Christian also can answer any questions later on. Did you want to ask something? Well, at the moment, with unauthorized access, at the moment, I'm just trying to get a place to edit it. It's pretty much all there. It just has to actually have a physical facility. Rika wrote an article that was published in Japan. We think that Japanese television might be interested in picking it up. That's sort of, the main thing is just getting it finished at this point. So I haven't really gone on, but it'll be distributed through various groups in the US, 2600, SOTMAS, other people like that. So it'll be available. Also, Simon was going to talk about what's happening in England, and I finished.